You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, you hear that music, you know what that means. Little Earth, Wind, and Fire, always good for your soul. Try and give you a little soul food to get started on this Tuesday morning, but it also means this. How about that? You like that, Austin, huh?
I love it.
We're vibing this morning. That's how you do that, right?
Every time that I PA a volleyball game, I play this song. Every single time.
You're good. That's good. Giving the people what they want.
Oh, everybody loves this. I mean, if you do not like September, you're just an angry grouch.
Yes. I told you, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I saw them in concert, Earth, Wind, and Fire, for about, the 15th or 16th time I've seen them now.
Was it any different than the other time?
Well, yeah, I tell you, here's the thing. It was really good. And what I mean by that is they're always good. But the one that was like 2 weeks ago was maybe the first time I ever saw them where they were the opening act.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, Lionel Richie was...
Usually they are the act.
Usually they're the opening act. And so they were the opening act. And, you know, because you're the opening act, you only go an hour and 10 minutes. That's it. You don't do a full show. And what was good is, I mean, they're old, Austin. You realize they've been touring since 1972.
Whew. So they got to be, what, late 70s?
The three original members are all in their 70s, yes. Late, you know, mid to late 70s or whatever. But my point is, when you're old, sometimes less is better.
Yeah.
So the show was more compact. You know, they eliminated a lot of the filler, you know, the solos and all the other stuff they do to fill time. Every concert does it, you know. All these musicians want you to feel like you got your money's worth, so they feel like they got to go like 2 hours. But the problem is they end up filling a lot of time with just solos and, you know, silly talking and all that stuff. Well, when you only got an hour, you get right to the hits and you hammer them all.
And you roll.
And you roll. So it was a little different, you know what I mean, from that standpoint. I mean, they're always good, but it was really good because there was a lot more energy for the entire hour they were out there. But I saw them way back when they were young. When they were young, they really, really could go.
Yeah, we talked about the lack of concerts that I've seen. I think Earth, Wind, and Fire would be one to go see I would enjoy.
If they come back next year, we're going.
We'll go.
If they come back next year, we're going.
And we'll drag Joe with us.
Oh, yeah, Joe would love it. You would have loved, Joe would have loved Lionel Richie. It was unbelievable in that show. Unbelievable. Anyway, the other thing hearing September to start the show means is that Joe ain't here. It's just me. Joe's got another tough assignment on a golf course. But that's the life that he lives. And I will hold down the fort. In fact, I think I have three solo shows this week.
Friday, today.
Today, and then Thursday I'm doing the morning show, I think, by myself.
For the fourth. You and Callis.
Me and Callis.
You have anything planned for Callis?
I'm going to have to think about some things, for sure. But, you know, we've got a lot. We've got the Derek Shelton show at noon. We've got Michael McHenry at 1, right?
Yes.
And we've got Destiny's Child at 11, I think, right?
Destiny's Child at 11, Shelty at noon, McHenry, and also Gilbert Brown's going to join us in this hour.
We got your fix of baseball, for sure, right?
No doubt, as the Pirates start a three-game series against St. Louis. I mean, we talked about it yesterday, Paul. This stretch run, they need it.
Right.
You can't go 5-5. You have to go 6-4 at least against the Cardinals, Mets, and the Brewers. No more treading water.
No, they got to make a move now. And so we've got a lot of baseball. But before I get to all that baseball and stuff, we've got Gilbert Brown, right? He's a part of that basketball tournament.
Yeah, the TBT.
The former Pitt players are all going to play together against And I think the winner gets like a couple million, right?
They get $1 million, yeah.
Right. So, but before we get on to that, I got to ask you a question, Austin. My timeline, last night and in this morning on Twitter, wasn't full of Penguin stuff, wasn't full of Pirate stuff.
I know where this is going.
Wasn't even necessarily full of, you know, Hawk Tua stuff and all the other crap. Okay? It was full of people who were angry about the soccer game last night.
Yep.
So I ask you, A, do you watch soccer?
I will only watch the World Cup and, you know, that's about it. The Olympics.
I mean, Pony was tweeting about soccer. Like, that's how absurd it was.
I knew they were playing last night, and I knew that they were not having a good track record in the Copa America, but man, they just completely laid an egg last night.
First of all, the only reason I knew the Copa America was happening is because the one day last week I was down at Rivers Casino, and you know, one of these dealers, you know, one of the dealers at the casino who's foreign,
yeah,
right, gave me a tip to bet on Chile. Oh, Chile's going to win this one. So I walked out to the terminal, bet on Chile, and of course it was a 0-0 tie, and I lost. That's the only game I even knew what happened. The rest of it, it's called the Copa America. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I think that probably stands for America's Cup. Is that what it is?
Yeah, and they played the game in Kansas City.
It was in Kansas City.
Yeah.
How do I know this? Because people are really angry that this game took place on American soil, and they lost. And I keep saying to myself, every time this comes up, every World Cup year, every other, you know, every second year there's some kind of big event like this that goes on, every time there's some kind of qualifying event, you know what I say, Austin? Why do you get disappointed by American soccer? Like, I've long ago conceded to the fact that we stink in soccer.
Other than the women's team who constantly wins World Cups.
The women's team, didn't they lose the last World Cup? I think they lost the last World Cup.
Yeah, they did.
And the bottom line of that is, the women, you know what, the women were, you know, much further ahead of the game when it come to on a world stage.
Oh, by far.
You know what I mean? But not even close. I mean, the first one was a joke. You know, they blew everyone out. Now there's some other countries that are finally catching up on the women's side, so that is going to be mildly. But every single listen, and I preface this, Austin, by saying this, because then, you know, you always get soccer guy. You know, soccer guy. He knows all the terms.
Oh, so like, much more than he knows it all, and so much more than you do.
Yeah, he knows
and
the soccer guy. I'm talking about the guy that uses terms like pitch. We're going to play on the pitch. You know, it's that side, not that team. It's that side. Oh, I like the kit they're wearing. You know, the. It's like, dude, you grew up in Baldwin. You know what I'm saying? You didn't grow up in England. Nobody talks like that. But I'm talking about soccer guy. You know, the fitness of the athletes. You know, that guy. Because the first thing he always says, "Well, you just don't understand the game." Blah 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 blah. Okay. Started playing soccer when I was in maybe 9 years old, 8 years old. Played all the way through high school. Played all the way through college, by the way. Coached it for about 20 years. So I probably have a pretty good idea of soccer.
Yeah, you know the game.
Number one. Number two, I love soccer. I love playing soccer. It's the most fun sport that you can play. I love it. Watching it is difficult. At times, unless I do like the English Premier League and the World Cup, I'll watch those because those games are usually reasonably entertaining because it's at the highest level you can play at. Everything else below that is just not interesting to me. That's number one. But number two, probably in about, here's all you need to know. In 85, 86, my sophomore year of high school, was the first year that Penn Trafford ever had a varsity soccer program. Okay? In the 80s, nobody had them. you know, by the early 90s, then it's all of a sudden every school had soccer, pretty much. You know what I mean? 85, before like 85, 86, there was maybe like five varsity teams around.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's pretty late.
And of course, what happened was there was an explosion of youth soccer. And so, you know, that was 40 years ago when the explosion really happened. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, my first year in youth soccer was like in seven-year-old or eight-year-old. Penn Township, where I live, didn't even have – I had to play in Norwin. I had to play in the Norwin Soccer League because they had, you know, they had started it a couple years before Penn Trafford. So my point is I've been hearing for 40 years about how soccer is going to take over the world. Take over the United States. How soccer is going to be the most popular sport in this country in, you know, 10 years? Oh, boy. Then 10 years came. Oh, boy, next 10 years, watch. Then they had that one World Cup where didn't they get to, like, the basically like the equivalent of, like, the Sweet 16?
They got to the round of 16.
And oh, boy. Now they're going to reload with some young guys. The rest of the world is going to be in trouble.
That wasn't that long ago.
I don't even remember what it was. But here's my thing. Why do people continually get upset about the United States losing these soccer games? We stink. I say it all the time. If we really wanted to be good at soccer, okay, the first thing we would have to do is start sending our best athletes. The best athletes in Brazil play soccer. The best athletes in Germany play soccer. The best athletes in Italy play soccer, right?
Well, it's never going to overtake football.
I'm saying,
we know that. There's no chance in hell that it ever does.
The best athletes in Spain, they play soccer. And they start from the time they're like 2 years old. You know, by the time they're 4 and 5, they can do banana kicks and things. And, you know, by the time they're 8 and 7 and 8, you know, they could beat most of our 15-year-olds.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do. You know, in Brazil, in a place like Brazil, soccer is, you know, seen as, in a lot of these countries, in Africa, places, soccer is like your way out of the poverty. So, like, but I always say this. Could you imagine, for instance, if Michael Vick played soccer from the time he was little and was trained like those, you know, Brazilians? If we had Michael Vick, guys like Antonio Brown, you know?
Lamar Jackson, some of the guys
that are receivers, cornerbacks, some of the NBA players.
Aaron Judge is your goalie.
You know what I mean? Whatever. My point is, a guy like Andrew McCutchen, you know, when he was young. You know what I'm saying? If those guys played soccer, all of the best players, best athletes we had in the world played soccer, and we valued it the way the rest of the world would, then it would be a jarring thing when we lose. But we're supposed to lose. We're not good at it. On a world stage, relative to the rest of the world, and we've, you know, fired the – oh, wait. See, I said we fired the coach many times, but it's actually we fired the manager many times, right? We fired the manager. We've changed the players. We've brought in younger guys. We've tried to hang on to the older guys who were the stars. We had, you know, a few successful tournaments here and there. But at the end of the day, we're still the United States, and we're still going to stink in soccer. We should be far more upset that our American football team in that World Junior thing lost to Japan, and then did you see?
They didn't win the third-place game.
They lost the third-place game to Austria.
Austria,
for God's sakes. How many people in Austria do you think play American football?
They had to send a high school JV team over there.
I mean, I don't even understand what the point of that is. Here's the thing. Wouldn't we be better off, because it was like under 20, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't we have been better off just saying, IMG Academy, send your team up there and go play? Right?
You'd think.
I would be willing to bet. Forget about that. I'd be willing to bet if we said, North Allegheny, send your varsity team up there. Or Central, send your varsity team up there. We would have mopped them all up. I can't even imagine who we sent up there.
Waynesburg probably could have beat them. W&J would have.
All those schools would have, definitely. Because it was, you know, 20 and under, or under 20. So, you know, you have some older kids. But my point is, our best high school teams would have cleaned up that thing.
There's no doubt. And it just doesn't make any sense.
That's much more concerning to me than the United States losing in the Copa America or whatever the hell it was last night and everybody losing their mind. Listen, here's the other thing that always cracks me up, Austin. You played sports, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Multiple sports.
One of the things that, you know, back in the day, and even, you know, I continued it while I was coaching, but, you know, like everything else, it's like, oh, this is an antiquated thing. The first day of practice, we would run 2 miles and you had to do it in 12 minutes. 6 minute miles. So, you know, if you didn't make it the first day, you had to do it the second day. If you didn't do it, you know what I mean? A lot of us made it the first day. By the third day, mostly everyone had made it, right? Because when you play a soccer game and you run an average of like 6 miles or something like that, 6 to 7 miles in a soccer game. So a baseline of fitness that you can run 2 miles in a reasonable pace is not unreasonable. But of course, you know, soccer head, soccer guru have all got, you know, they've all gotten involved in how we train now. And so that is like, oh, that has nothing to do with it. Here's the thing that's funny. Because I put this out on Twitter like, a year ago or something. In all my years around the game, probably from start to finish, close to 30. I never met a single player who is a good soccer player that could not run 2 miles in 12 minutes. Not once. So I got into an argument with one of these soccer heads, I don't know, during the last World Cup, because they were saying that it's a unreasonable and stupid fitness test, right? And I said, it's amazing. I've never been around a soccer player that's good that can't run 2 miles in 12 minutes.
Well, that's the entire game is just running back and forth. It might be like a slight jog, but that is the game.
And instantly, it was amazing. I had like 30 guys who all swore they were great soccer players and they couldn't run 2 miles in 2 miles in 12 minutes. That's the beauty of social media, right? Everybody can say whatever the hell they want to say and nobody, because it's all just fiction. But it's like, well, this is amazing. In 30 years around the game, I never met one good soccer player. Never met one who couldn't run 2 miles in 12 minutes. And today, on social media, I met 30 of you. It's a miracle. Exactly. So, anyway, I just kind of feel like it's one of those things where when you know, I'm like looking at all these messages about soccer. And I'm saying to myself, why are we doing this?
Well, and people pick their time where they care. Like we were saying, like, how many of those people do you think watch much U.S. soccer other than maybe this Copa America, which is in the country, the World Cup, and the Olympics?
Right.
Not many. And that's part of the problem. Like, the MLS is growing, but it's not even close to as big of a deal as the NFL or ever will be, or the NBA, or Major League Baseball. It's not even at hockey's level.
So while we move on from this, do you happen to know, does this mean they're out of the World Cup, or is there another qualifying event, or do we know anything?
That I don't know. I briefly looked into it yesterday. I thought they qualified for the World Cup.
Okay.
But I don't know if this dampers them in any way.
Well, you know, they're upset because they added this forward, Valerian Balagon, and apparently he's really good, but he didn't do anything last night, and now we're going to fire the coach, who is Greg Berhalter or something. Is that his name?
Yeah, Greg Berhalter.
Yeah.
Oh, how about this? So, yes, they will be in the World Cup because FIFA announced a couple years ago that U.S., Canada, and Mexico, all co-hosts of the World Cup, automatically qualify for the tournament.
Oh, there you go, baby. We're in it. What is it, 26?
26, no matter what.
Listen, by then, I promise you, soccer is going to be rolling, baby.
And the coach will be fired by then.
The soccer is going to be rolling.
Or the manager.
Country. We're gonna be going. We're going to get it rolling. We've got the equivalent of Paul Skeens in the minor leagues. They're going to be joining the U.S. men's team. Anyway, I digress. I just found it funny. Didn't you find it funny last night how, like, everyone was going berserk and losing their minds about a soccer game?
It was
like,
the entire timeline.
We're supposed to lose. We stink.
Yeah, it's not a priority in this country.
Nobody cares enough to make it a priority. We keep saying that we are, and we're going to do this, and we have all these soccer academies, and you know, we bring people over from places like Everton, and we bring people over from, you know, even Manchester United, and we try, you know, they're going to teach us Americans how to play soccer.
Yeah, and Messi's here,
and then by the time the kids are like 14, they're going to realize, wait a minute, where's the best? What about all those Grelly? Well, that one, those two are playing baseball. That one's playing lacrosse. These two are playing football, and that one he's playing basketball. Those three are playing basketball. Well, what are we doing here, right? Anyway, I digress. I needed to get that off my chest in order to be able to properly do this show. Sometimes I got to rant just to get something off my chest, but I just don't understand why people are angry about soccer. Because we stink. We're not good. We won't ever be good on a world stage from the standpoint of challenging these, you know, the best teams. And there's quite often we're closer to the bottom than we are to the top. Anyway, switching gears, because we are going to talk a lot of baseball today, because the Pirates have a big series starting tonight against the Cardinals. Little bit of breaking news. Did you see this, Austin? It's the Bubba Chandler, Tamar Johnson, they've both been named to the Futures All-Star Game.
Yeah, I just saw that from the Young Bucks account. And Bubba Chandler has been spectacular in his last two starts. Went 7 innings previously. I think it was last week. Gave up 2 runs, but none of them were allowed when he was in the game. 11 strikeouts. Had another 10 strikeout performance before that. It doesn't seem like, at least to me, that he would be the first name that obviously teams are going to want him, but that the Pirates would be willing to deal.
Right. And what about the other one?
Tamar Johnson. I mean, good middle infielder, but still in high A. The average, he was touted when he was drafted to be such a great average hitter, could hit to all fields, and he's only hitting like 220, 230. But a lot of power there from the left side of the plate. Smaller guy, but can hit the ball out of the ballpark. So, I mean, they're the two top prospects in the organization for a reason.
Well, again, that means they're probably not trading those two guys. But there's other guys that are down there, right?
They got Sola Meadows, another left-handed pitcher that they like. I don't know if they'd want to trade a lefty, because when's the last time that they've drafted and developed a left-handed pitcher to pitch at PNC Park? I mean, Zach Duke?
Yeah, probably.
Oliver Perez?
Ollie!
That they developed themselves.
Well, if you look at their top prospects, and here's the thing: Chandler, Tamar Johnson, probably off. I would say Solometo is probably off limits too, right?
I could see them trading Solometo, but I would think Chandler is off limits.
My thing
anyone.
Is, I could see them trading either Ashcraft or Harrington because they're righties. One of those two is a righty.
Well, and Ashcraft, I thought, was the one that was rumored to be going to Miami in the potential deal to acquire the starting pitcher that they wanted from the Marlins at the start of the year.
Right. I mean, prospects 6 and 7 are both shortstops.
Yeah, Mitch Jebb can go.
I mean,
like, why contact slap hitter type of guy.
Sung Che Cheng and Mitch Jebb, both shortstops. And really, Jack Brannigan is a shortstop third baseman.
Right. Well, once they get past the top 5 in their top 10 prospects, it starts to drop off.
But more importantly, there are a lot of guys that you can shed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
if you want to tell me you want to hold on to Solometo, Tamar Johnson, and Bubba Chandler, and either one of Ashcraft or Harrington, okay, fine. Those four, good. After that, you could trade any of these other guys.
Well, and how are those guys valued by other teams as well? This isn't the Baltimore Orioles farm system where the top 10 are all guys that could be top five guys in any other system. I mean, that's going to play a factor in it, too. Does, let's say, hypothetically, the White Sox think that Mitch Jebb or Chang or a Hunter Barco, who are in the top 15 prospects, would be the equivalent of top 10 or top 5 guys in their own system, and they value them higher? Or do they think the Pirates system past the top 5 is just falls off the face of the earth, and they're not worth it, and it has to be a top 5 guy?
Yeah.
Those are the conversations to be had. And I don't think that other teams will value those guys past Solometo, Chandler, and Termar Johnson than really anyone else. And that's where the problem is going to lie if they want to land a big bat. They're going to have to give up one of those guys. And I don't think they're willing to do it.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, I think what's becoming a little bit, I would say, not apparent, but what's becoming a little bit troublesome to me, Austin, we talked a little bit about it yesterday, was the fact that we have this feeling that they're trying to run out the clock to get to the trade deadline. And they get to the trade deadline and they're a couple of games under 500 and they're three or four games out. It'll be like, well, we don't think this is the year for us to go all in and you know, give away the chips that we have. So we're going to, you know, we're going to make a couple of minor moves and move on. I could so see that happening. Couldn't you?
Yeah, or they decide to maybe sell off a piece. Like, hey, do we need Martin Perez anymore? Maybe somebody wants him as a reliever, or Marco Gonzalez. They're gonna get something. They have to get something, but it's going to be the quality of what they get. And I don't think it's going to be too high at this point, unless they go on a 6-4, 7-3 run in the next 10. And then they have the White Sox, so they should easily take 2 out of 3 from. But then again, they were swept by the A's this year.
Yeah.
So you never know. You can't take it for granted.
Well, we'll see. I mean, like I said, it's you know, if you look at what they have between now and, say, the trade deadline, I mean, they got to make a move.
They got to make multiple moves.
I don't mean make a move in the sense of they need to trade somebody. I mean, they need to make a move in the standings. Because I think the longer they hang around where they're at, you know, right, just under 500, two, three, four games out, I mean, I feel like at that point, management's going to say, well, we don't really need to make a move because this isn't our year to do it, if that makes sense.
No, it makes complete sense, because so, if they don't do something substantial before the deadline, what gives Charrington or anyone incentive inside that building to truly show that they believe that this team can do it and can make the playoffs, especially against St. Louis, a division opponent, and the team that you're trailing in the wild card, and the Mets, a team you're trailing in the wild card, and the Brewers, the team you're trailing in the division. It has to be now.
Yeah. So it just basically, I mean, that's where we're at with that. We'll get to, we'll pick Destiny's Child. We'll pick his brain later when he comes on at the top of the hour. By the way, that was Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, a rundown of what was happening. Also, Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing, HVAC, and service for over 50 years. And here's the thing. We've got Shelton. We've got Derek Shelton. I don't feel like I'm informal enough with him to call him Shelty, so I call him Derek Shelton, because you got to go through this show for a whole year before you can start to feel comfortable using nicknames, correct?
Yeah, and I feel like it's not a Shelton show if he doesn't bring up Ron.
Right.
He brings up Ron every single time. Yeah. Cookie would love this question or love this topic.
Yeah. Anyway, for all of the you've got to ask the tough questions crowd out there, we do have the fan text line. You can text in your question for Shelton, right? Watch out for those. Your question for Shelton, you can text it at 412-928-9370. Text it in. City Limits will get it. And then we'll go over them. And in one of the segments right before we get Shelton on, we'll go over some of them. And then we'll decide if they're going to make the cut. All right?
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, if you're a basketball fan, we've been actually starved for basketball in the summer here ever since the Pro-Am League went away. Austin, do you remember the Pro-Am League in Greentree here?
I don't.
It was tremendous. All the like college teams would play in it, you know, so you go over there, you watch Pitt play against West Virginia guys and, you know, Robert Morris. And, you know, there'd be other teams that would have guys that were from Pittsburgh but playing, you know, like Jeter played at Nebraska, stuff like that. It was tremendous basketball.
The only basketball in the summer before last year's TBT that Pitt played in that I recall is the Big Three,
right?
Ice Cube.
Well, we also have the basketball tournament, TBT, coming up, and it's actually going to be hosted here at the Peterson Event Center in a couple of weeks. And joining me now, former Pitt Panther Gilbert Brown, and obviously he is involved in the TBT, but I just learned that you're not playing. You're actually just organizing the team.
Correct. I'm not playing this year. I'm not. You know, I hand that torch over to the young guys. So it's been something I've been working on, organizing the team and trying to bring it to Pittsburgh. And I'm actually going to coach it this year.
Okay. Well, I think that's an admirable thing. I mean, but if I'm not mistaken, your last year was 2011. So what? I mean, you're only about 35, 36, right? How old are you?
36. That's right. I am 36, and I remember that summer league that you were talking about there. I feel like it started when I was a freshman.
Right, and it was great, wasn't it? It was like every you know, I think it was like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, people could go over there and if you remember back when you were playing, Gilbert, couldn't get a ticket to the Pete.
I know. You couldn't. So the summer league was like great for fans that, you know, couldn't occasionally attend games, and you would get great games against guys from West Virginia, Duquesne, Robert Morris, and then of course the Pittsburgh guys that came home.
Right. Right. That was always that's what was always fun, you know, watching those games, because for a lot of people that couldn't get a ticket to see you guys, they could at least see you guys in the summer. So you know, this is after the fact, but this TBT is sort of a chance now for them to come see the guys as well, right?
Correct. You know, we got a really good roster, a lot of former players playing that are playing professionally at a high level. So I think it's going to be great. It's going to be exciting. And we have the old Big East matchups too.
Right. So let's start with who's playing. I mean, you're obviously coaching, so you kind of, I'm assuming, know your roster. So give us, you know, some of the guys that are playing that people are going to be real familiar with.
Oh, yeah. Correct. We have some good guys playing. Younger guys like Nike Sabande and, of course, Nellie Cummings, who were a part of that NCAA tournament team a couple years back. Ryan Luther, Michael Young, and Jamel Artis, who are, you know, great players in their own right at Pitt. Lamar Patterson coming back. Also, as well as another Pittsburgh local kid that went to Shippensburg who's playing amazing overseas, named Dustin Sleva. And then the big fella, DeJuan Blair, decided to lace him up again one time forever.
So he's about your age, isn't he?
Yeah, DeJuan's a little younger than me. He's about a year younger than me, a year or two.
Okay. So, you know, you get the big fella out there, you know, get to play basketball like you guys played back in the old days, right?
That's right. We need a bruiser in there and a guy with some, you know, experience and savvy to him, and that's DeJuan.
The other teams coming. I know West Virginia and Penn State are coming. Are there some other teams mm-hmm. that people are familiar with that are coming?
UConn is coming. It's coming as well. Also, there's a Philly Pro-Am team with a lot of guys from Temple and LaSalle in the Philly area. And then a couple other teams that were put together. Unfortunately, Syracuse wasn't able to participate this year. That would have probably made it even more exciting, but a couple other good teams that have been staples in TBT for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty cool if you think about it. I think it would be tremendous since Blair is playing. Is the Beat playing?
I don't know. I don't know if Beat wants to play if he's playing.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if that would be, you know, if he's playing, that would be, that's obviously one of the matchups that, you know, stands out from when you guys really had it rolling was when you played UConn. And, of course, the iconic moment, you know, that everyone remembers is DeJuan Blair basically body slamming the Beat or whatever over his shoulder.
Yeah. I know that was an iconic moment. He had a huge game. I think he finished with like 22 and 23. That was a moment in Pitt history in 2008, 2009 that, you know, I think sticks in everybody's mind.
Yeah, that was. I mean, you guys had, obviously back then, you guys had a great run. You know, Jamie really had that thing going. I'm assuming you've kept in touch or a little bit with what's going on with the current program. It feels like Jeff Capel is getting it back to where it was.
No, definitely. This being my fourth year on staff with Capel in Pittsburgh, it's been kind of reviving, like just in these last couple of years, how everything has turned around in these last 2 years. So, like, I just think the culture of the program, the players that we have, and, you know, my expectations are, you know, extremely high for the guys because I really believe in them.
Right. I mean, I think, like I said, he's recruited well. It's always good when you have a guy go in the lottery, isn't it?
Always good. Always good publicity when you got a guy going in the lottery.
Yeah. There's no question about it. We talk a lot about, you know, culture and all that stuff. But the greatest advertisement you can have for your program is seeing one of your players stand up there at the podium with the NBA commissioner.
I can't agree with you more, you know. And when you have that, it just it's a great look for the program. And with the program headed in the direction, having winning seasons these last couple of years, it's only positive.
You know, it's amazing when you played Gilbert. You guys were a Big East team, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's many of us who lament the fact that you're not. That Pitt no longer is in the Big East. Of course, a number of those teams have come with you, but there was just something about playing Villanova and Connecticut and Seton Hall and St. John's, and you know, you have Syracuse in the ACC. But not only is Pitt in the ACC now, the ACC has gone through like three, you know, changes, including this latest one. I mean, could you imagine if you were playing league games against Stanford and Cal?
I couldn't. I really couldn't. Having to fly out west or play against Stanford and Cal, it would have been different back then because everything was so regional, you know. But with the change in college athletics, this is the reality that we're in. But, you know, it's different, and it's going to bring about new experiences, especially for us as college fans and as coaches and players.
Well, so give me some of the details of this TBT tournament. I mean, is it like a $2 million prize or something to the winner?
It's a $1 million prize for the winner. Winner takes all. You lose, you go home. Guys, there's a lot of alumni teams from former university and then overseas guys that have put together teams as well. So, you know, that's basically the makeup of the tournament. It's going to be a lot of excitement. They'll be on Fox Sports this year. It just recently changed. They have a new TV deal with them. So, you know, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I was looking at former champions. Really, the overseas elite, I'm assuming that's a collection of, like, pro players that play overseas. They've won a bunch. Boeheim's Army won one. Do you think that you've got a team this year that has a chance maybe to make a run?
No, I definitely do, especially with our younger guys playing and our guys that are veterans overseas that are coming back to play on the team. I feel really, really confident about this team's ability. We have really, really good guard play. We have length. We have size. We have athleticism and shot making. So, you know, with all of these different tools that each player brings, I think we'll be able to really compete at a high level and make a run for it.
Yeah. So do you guys have like 3 weeks or 4 weeks of practice to get ready for it? Or
I know guys are training currently right now, and we'll probably meet here probably a week before and try to get a couple practices in, get a couple scrimmage games in, and, you know, prepare for the tournament.
Yeah, so you get in, and then so the tournament is what? It's July 23rd, I think I read.
So the first game will be July 20th.
Okay.
At the Peterson Center at 8 p.m. We have the prime or the late night game, and then from that it will move on to July 22nd and July 24th.
Okay. So three, basically over a 3 or 4 day period, there you guys will be on display. And hopefully you win, and that's the regional, right? If you get out of that, then you go. Where is like the championship?
In Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
The semifinals and the finals will be in Philadelphia.
Well, that's good. So you wouldn't have to travel that far.
No, we can keep it all in PA.
No, that's good. So now these teams, I mean, obviously there's a little travel involved in that. I mean, do you guys have some sponsors, or, you know, how are you guys able to do that?
Fortunately, you know, GBU Life and UPMC have stepped up and sponsored us and helped us get this thing together.
Okay, good. That's and then of course the most important thing is, where can people get tickets for this event?
So the tickets are online. You can go to the website TBT Tournament to purchase tickets, as well as different links that I know that the university and everybody are putting out through social platforms as well.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, like I said, hopefully there's a nice the big crowds for you guys that. And hopefully for your, you know, for your guys get ready in these next few weeks and you're ready to roll. And it would be really fun if you got to beat Penn State and West Virginia in the same tournament.
That would be amazing.
Right.
You know, I think there's nothing like beating West Virginia.
Right. Right. I mean, it's all foggy to me. So were you on the court for the Ronald Ramon shot?
I was.
Yeah,
I was a freshman.
Yes, you were. That was your first year, but
yep.
That Ronald Ramon shot is one of the, you know, one of the great moments at that Peterson Event Center, isn't it?
One of the great moments. I mean, just when you think about, I think the two moments in my Pitt career that stick out to me both are Virginia games, and Ronald Ramon is the first one, and that shot was amazing. Then the triple overtime game.
Right. No, that was incredible. That was an incredible night, and of course, it made it all better that you guys beat West Virginia.
Yep.
You know, for sure. Well, I mean, Gilbert, thank you so much for joining us and jumping on, and you know, hopefully, like I said, we get a big crowd for that, and you guys are able to win three games and get to Philadelphia.
Yep, that's the goal. That's the goal.
All right, my
thanks
man.
For having me.
Yep, thanks, man. That's Gilbert Brown from Pitt, played at Pitt. He's the general manager coach of the Pitt team in the TBT tournament. Austin, if you're in town, are you likely to go to those games?
I'm likely to go, and there's a possibility that I might be covering it.
Oh, that would be really
cool. We'll see if that becomes a possibility.
I think those games are tremendous. I mean, it started back, I'll tell you. We used to have in this town the Connie Hawkins League, right?
I've heard all about it.
Oh, my God. And you would go over there on any night. It was like Monday through Wednesday or Monday through Thursday, but there was usually two games or three games, whatever. And it was over there in East Liberty. It was a who's who of the best basketball players in this area in Western PA. There was even, you know, there were times like guys like Jason Williams, you know, White Chocolate would come and play. There were people, there were just guys who could play every single night. And then, of course, the Pro-Am started. And the Pro-Am was tremendous if you like that kind of basketball.
Yeah.
If you like, you know. And then, of course, that went away. So this is the best we have. You're having a problem with your mic.
Yeah, it won't stay. Well, it just continues to just pop up every single time that you move it down. So I don't know if we can find someone to get on that or not, but I know Donnie's had the same issues as well.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.